Every Monday afternoon at this time, 91FM arts reporter Julie Burstein reports on the arts. Today, Julie speaks with gallery director Marion Locke about her new talent show.
There are six artists in Marion Locke's 16th annual New Talent exhibit, and they represent very different sensibilities, from Richard Stevens' graceful and mysterious photograms of plants and flowers to Kurt Solmsen's large and powerful landscapes of local urban areas. The front room of the gallery is filled with an installation by Gary Robbins entitled Binna. It took me a few minutes to get up the courage to walk past the fierce and funky figure guarding the entrance and enter the space. Once inside, I was surrounded by large, darkly colorful cutout figures with mythic implications and covered with contemporary hieroglyphics. The walls, floor, and ceiling are painted, lights flash off and on, and eerie sounds and music emanate from a large figure in the corner. The other rooms of the gallery are lined with a series of small collages by John Carlano, clay and acrylic sculptures by Nancy Fried, and surrealistic acrylic paintings by Annabel Meacham. Since she opened her gallery in 1968, Marion Locke has been showing the works of new artists.
I think when I started out, all the shows are new talent for Philadelphia. Basically, it was young people coming out of school. As time went on, I found there were many people who had been out of school or had been painting for a long time, and for lack of places to exhibit in Philadelphia, were in a sense new talent, new to being seen. And so I decided that the new talent shows would then represent people who had not been seen in my gallery, at least, and not in the area particularly. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a mix. At one time, I had a new talent show that had a range of ages from about 18 to 80. And it's a very local show generally, but sometimes I like to bring people from another area just to establish a relationship or to see the differences, and particularly because I think it's good for all artists to see other art in relation to their own.
How do you look for new talent? Where do you go to look for new people to exhibit?
Way back when I started, I used to ask the artists that were in the gallery with me for suggestions for people to add to the group. And in the beginning, it was possible there were only four, six, or eight people, and they in turn could ask for make one or two suggestions, and so I would end up with probably 10 or 12 or 14. As the group grew, it got more and more difficult to take all of their suggestions. And I remember one year in particular where I asked maybe a dozen of my regular stable, and all of whom were teachers in the various art schools, to make a recommendation. And that was probably one of the most interesting shows and one I learned the most from, because I had maybe 15 or 16 people in that show, all of whom looked so much like the teachers who had recommended them that when people came, they would say, oh, is that so-and-so? And I'd say, no, that's a student. So from then on, I began to not that I didn't like that idea, because I think it's a very healthy thing to take on influence and certainly cannot be denied. I began to look around a little bit myself and yet rely on certain teachers that I felt were most important for me to talk to. I find that there are certain teachers who are favorites of the students. Talking to the graduating students, I learn. So I ask from time to time, I'd ask faculty people and look myself. But as the years went on, the volume of correspondence and slides that I see is immeasurable. I cannot tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of slides I look at till I get very jaded and very weary. And in a sense, this year I tried to stop that because I said I wouldn't look at slides until January just to cut the volume in half. And between January and April or May, when we finally make the decision, you're over inundated. You just can't. I can't tell you. And we finally narrow it down. It's very painful, very difficult to narrow it down. Sometimes you do include a person for political reasons, for social reasons. Sometimes you do it because the person needs it so. You feel it, you're doing we'd call that social. Sometimes because they're exciting, and sometimes because it's a perfect mixture. There's no real rule of thumb about how I do it or how I select, but mostly it's just from looking around and trying to get a mix of what's happening in the area.
Have you seen a transition in the sort of work that's been done in the city in the past 15, 16 years?
I have seen particularly a rejection of the young, the artist coming out of school, rejection of what is happening. It's almost two sides of a coin. Rejection of what's happening in the big scene in New York, rejection of the waves, the trends, the isms, returning to a kind of very painterly realism from a large number. And then I see, of course, those who are reflecting what they see in the exhibitions in New York, what they see in the magazines. As a matter of fact, I wish I could pass some kind of a law that young artists should read the articles in magazines and never look at the pictures. But we're too close to New York, and there is such a strong influence. There's much more emphasis, less emphasis on paintings and traditional two-dimensional works. There's more object orientation. There's more installation and site work.
When you work with an artist, how do you work on the price of an object?
Well, that's always been a very difficult question. I try with a young talent, a new talent, to relate their work, show what the prices are in the gallery for artists that are already on their way or semi-established or established. And it's always been a hardship to understand how much time they put in relation to what they're going to get. Inevitably, you'll find they live and work on a substandard level. I'm amazed that, you know, that we know in our society we have a minimum wage. If you could possibly realize how much time and effort is put into a painting like that, for instance, and that the artist would get less than a domestic or a less so-called minimum wage person. I had an artist, one of the best I know, again, who's established in New York, and he did a show here. It was a beautiful show, and we figured what it cost him to do the show. It took him a year to do and a certain amount of material. We estimated, I think, they made about 49 cents an hour. And this is pretty common. Artists put a great deal more of time into it, and it seems hard. So I always try with a young artist, of course, I always do, have a lower commission level for their first show, and then gradually work up with them. The gallery, of course, has to have a percentage in order to exist, as you know. And then I think they have to grow into their own understanding of what the marketplace is about. They must understand that people will say, well, why? Why do you think that is worth $1,000 or $500 or $200 or whatever? You have to really say, have something, some credibility. They have to want it enough to say, my theory is that, you know, it gives more pleasure and more, it has more utilitarian value. That picture is going to be here long after I am and for many, many years. I still have the first painting that I bought in 1934. And it's still fine. It still gives me pleasure every single day. It gives me pride and pleasure, and I get an experience from it that I can't translate in any other thing. Now, you tell me where for 50 years something will, your furniture, your clothes, whatever you have, will have outlived their beauty or the usefulness or something in 50 years, and it's the only lasting thing I know. And so I try to tell that to the buyer of a new artist. Generally speaking, the artist himself has to realize that there is a level that the people who are looking, the young artists, are not willing to pay over a certain amount for their education, which is continuing. This is what the emerging artist has to also know, that your education continues for several years into the future after you've been out of school. Yeah. Do I make myself clear? It's a very difficult subject.
Marion Locke's gallery is located at 1524 Walnut Street, and the new talent show runs until August 31st. She also runs a gallery at 122 Arch Street in Philadelphia, where there's an exhibit of the work of two artists who were in her new talent show last year, Lanny Bergner and Joyce Phillip. There's also a new talent show at Suzanne Gross Gallery at 1726 Sansom Street. There's sculpture, prints, and paintings in this exhibit by new area artists. I'm Julie Burstein.
Julie Burstein reports on the arts every Monday afternoon at this time.